Good evening, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What is it that when the gospel is shared with person A, it's the same word, the word of God that has the power to save, and yet that person is not born again? And then we have person B. He's given the same gospel, and when he hears the gospel, and he is convicted, and he accepts Christ as Lord and as Savior. The difference is the Spirit of truth. Salvation is not in the hands of men. What we can do is to do our best in sharing the gospel, backed up by a life of holiness. But when the conviction and the conversion actually takes place, they will culminate in a surrendered life, where life is unconditionally, totally, completely given over to Christ. Christ will then baptize that person with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will begin to dwell in that person. But that person is no longer called an enemy of God, because he's no longer a sinner bound by sin. He is now a child of God, free and delivered from the bondage of sin. And the Spirit of God is the person who will begin the act of transforming a sinner into a saint. He takes the Word of God, and that's why he's known as the Spirit of Truth. We are not talking about general truth. We are talking about the very Word of God itself, the truth that is the Bible, the Word of God that has the power to save, the Word of God that is so great and so powerful that all diseases, everyone that was brought to Christ, that have been afflicted, whether it is because of demon possession, because of a grievous sickness, because of even death, by his spoken word, whatever the Lord had intended and spoken, it all came to pass. That's the word of God that the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit, he is the one who is in control, in charge of the truth that God has given to us. He applies the truth into our hearts and into our lives. And so what we see in John chapter 16 is a continuation of the Lord Jesus Christ trying to comfort the believers. And he is now called the Spirit of Truth. The Lord Jesus Christ had just told the disciples the truth in John chapter 13. And what was the truth that they found so hard to accept? That he was going to die. He was going to be crucified. They understood and knew him as God, for the disciples were already children of God. So how could God die? How could God be a weakling and be arrested by ordinary human beings? And yet that's exactly what the Lord said. Not only will he be arrested, he will be abused, he will be persecuted. He will suffer like an ordinary human being, and then he will be crucified, and then he will die. But how could God die? How could God, who is all-powerful, we have seen his power by his miracles? They could not accept this. They find it so hard. And what was their response? Their response was sin. And Peter was even used by the devil because of his inward self-centered desire to keep the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. And he said to the Lord, "Do not go." And the Lord had to rebuke him instantaneously because it was a very dangerous transgression that he had made. "Get thee behind me, Satan." The Bible is the book of life. But the problem is the frailty of Christians. Not sinful men, frailty of believers. Because believers already have the indwelling of the Spirit of God. And that means we are now able to understand the truth. But because of our frailty, what frailty? The frailty of our faith. That is the primary frailty. And because our faith is weak, Our obedience, which is one of complete, total desire to obey all of God's word. God had to hold back portions of his revelation from us because we desire to obey all of God's word. But if God were to reveal too much to us and our faith is not able to cope, our faith is not able to bear, and we will not be able to accept it, we will not be able to obey it, even though our desire is to obey it. And it will result in transgression. And that's why Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but I cannot. Why? Because you are not able to bear them now. And the word bear means you are not prepared, you're not able, you're not strong enough. You don't have the strength to lift it up and then to carry. It's not just carrying. Lifting up means accept. That's why it's a different word that is used, where the focus is not just on carrying the load that is already placed on your shoulder. This word begins not on the load already on your shoulder. This word points to the fact that the load, the burden is in front of you. Now the next step is you have to lift it up. And Jesus says, you are not prepared to lift it up. The Lord just presented to them his own timing. And that timing was, the time has now come for me to leave my disciples, to take my final step as a lamb led to the slaughter, to be arrested, to be persecuted, and then to be crucified, and then to die. I need to tell my disciples this. And I have so much more to tell them, but they are not able to take it up and carry the burden and to walk with it. Not ready. That's why we need the Spirit of truth. Because of our frailty as a believer, because every believer mature from infancy to adulthood. No one will be given a jump start whereby the moment you are born again, you are now at secondary school age. No such thing. We all have to grow gradually. Everyone may grow some faster, some slower, but we all need to grow. And we will never arrive to the point where we will not grow anymore, whereby this frailty will cease to exist on earth. It will never. As long as we witness for Christ on earth in this earthen vessel, we must always remember that we are frail. And we thank God that God knows our frailty. He knows the measure of our frailty. And that's why he will never allow us to be tempted above that which we are able to bear, because he is faithful. He gives us this promise. And that's why he will hold back certain revelation from us until your faith matches. Then God will show you what he wants you to do with your life. And now that your faith is ready to accept it, then he will reveal it to you, because every born-again believer has this desire to obey every jot and tittle of God's word. Before salvation, we have our own desire to obey whatever is right in my own eyes. We do whatever we please. But after salvation, the desire is now changed, because the object and the focus of our desire is to obey every jot and tittle of our loving Heavenly Father, because I don't want God to be angry with me and I don't want to make him angry by disobeying him. And God knows that. And that's why God will never reveal to us something that he wants us to do when we are only an infant. That's exactly what verse 12 means. I have so much more to tell you, but I can't. You are not able to accept it and take it up and walk with it. Not ready. But the Spirit of truth, who is the Spirit of God, who already indwells you, when he comes, what was Jesus referring to in verse 13a? He was referring to the Pentecost, the filling of the Holy Spirit. And you and I, when you study the book of Acts, you can see and witness for yourself how the disciples, the apostles, were now ready to pick up whatever obstacle, ministry that the Lord had placed in front of them. And they did it. They did it courageously, because now they were ready. The Spirit of God was ready in them. But he had to lead them and guide them and fill them and help them. What was the event or incident from now until Pentecost that could have made this major impact in the faith of the believers, whereby they grew to such a level that when the church, the local church, had to begin, the apostles were ready? Do you remember what that event was? Jesus intimated that event in verse 16. His resurrection. The reality of all that they have heard and believed in Christ, suddenly all came into place, into focus. Everything fits suddenly. What was the struggle of the disciple when Jesus Christ was on earth? Remember, we mentioned this before, and I hope you remember. They believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. His humanity was by sight because he continued to live in their midst. His humanity was not by faith, because faith means you don't see with your physical eyes and yet you believe. And so when they see Christ in human form, walking in their midst, they will see his frailty. When they believe in his humanity, it's not just his humanity that they believed in, but everything included. His weakness, his frailty, his tiredness, his hunger, his thirsty, just like us. Do you realize that sight is an antithesis to faith? By sight or by faith, you cannot have both. But when they were walking with Christ on earth, it had to be both. And so by faith, they could remember and see his deity, what their eyes, physical eyes, could not see. They have to believe by faith, because when they look at Christ, there was no external glory. They all did not drop dead when they saw Christ. Unlike Moses, who wanted to see Christ, and God said, no man could see me in this earthen vessel and live. Of course, in heaven, when we are given the glorified body, we will see God and we will not drop dead and die, because we will be in the glorified body, powerful, strong, not this mortal flesh, this earthen vessel the Bible describes it as. This earthen vessel, when they see Christ in his human form, they believe his humanity. But his deity, his divinity, they have to believe by faith. And that is why their walk with the Lord was one moment very high up, next moment very weak, struggling. That had been their experience. One moment, 100% man. Next moment, when they saw the miracles, 100% God. But the moment Jesus Christ rose from the dead and appeared to them, his deity and his humanity were both by sight. Everything suddenly became very crystal clear. He is indeed the very Son of God. They already have faith. And now the faith was strengthened, that everything that Jesus said to them had now become a reality, because they saw him in his resurrected, glorified body. And that is why there was a big change in them. Now they are ready. The Spirit of truth came upon them by the filling of the Holy Spirit, and then God revealed more and more truth to them, because now they are strong enough to pick up whatever mission that the Lord gave to them. As you can see in the book of Acts, when you study it, how they were thrown into prison, they continued to preach. How they were whipped, continued to preach. How some of them were put to death, the rest who were alive continued to minister. They were not able to do that now. The Spirit of truth understands our frailty, and he will reveal the truth to us according to the measure of our faith that is able to carry the mission that God has given to us, because the desire of every child of God is to take up every mission that God gives to us. And therefore, God will not reveal too great a mission to us which our desire is to obey, but it is too big for us to carry. We can't do it. And that's the Spirit of truth. That's why sometimes when you study the Bible, you can only see so much at this point in time. But when you study the same book of the Bible, 5 years down the road, where your faith has really matured because you have been attending Bible studies, night classes in FEBC, and you begin to mature and you obey what you have learned and studied. And 5 years later, you study the same book, and this time you see more. And the more you see with the heart of and desire to obey, you now can obey more. But 5 years ago, you are not ready. Just like the disciples at this juncture, they were not ready. Jesus wanted to tell them so much more. And we all understood what this so much more means because it's given to us in the New Testament. But they were not ready to bear it. Because if you're not ready to bear it, and with the desire to obey every jot and tittle, the result is murmur, complain, sin. And that's why the Lord does not want us to fall into sin, because we are going to cry. Sometimes we may feel as if we are not ready. And that is faithlessness. And we saw that in the case of Moses. We saw that in many examples of the Old Testament. When they were persecuted, and Moses had to lead 2 million murmuring Israelites into the promised land. He said, I cannot bear it anymore. I cannot take it. I need help. And God sent help. Subordinate leaders to assist him. Sometimes, even though God knows we can, but we feel that we can't because of our faith. We do not believe and trust in God. And that's where we fall into sin. And then we repent, and then we realize, and then we come back again. Isn't that our journey? And who is the one who prompts us, helps us, teaches us, guides us? The Spirit of Truth. So when you understand the Bible, don't be arrogant, don't be proud. When you obey the Word of God, don't be arrogant, don't be proud. It is the Spirit of Truth who opens your eyes, applies the Word of God into your heart, enable you to walk the way that He wants you to go. How do we know that? The next few verses. Verse 12, the believer's frailty. Verse 13 to verse 16, the believer's ministry. We need the Spirit of Truth in our day-to-day ministry, because that's why we are left behind after salvation. That's why God places us here on earth to fight against the God of this world, to earnestly contend for the faith, to fight the good fight of faith. We cannot do it without the Word of God and without the Holy Spirit opening our eyes and showing us where to go, what to do. And how be it when the Spirit of Truth come, He will guide you into all truth. The word guide means He will show you the way into all truth so that you will know what to do according to God's Word. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear from who? From the Holy Spirit, from the Lord Jesus Christ. He will not give you a different message. The Spirit of God will listen to the Lord Jesus Christ just as the Lord Jesus Christ will do the will of the Father. That shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. The word show you means He will announce in detail, make it clear to you so that you will understand, and with a heart always to desire to obey, you will do it. You will know where to go, what to do. You realize that the first few chapters of the book of Acts, when the church was born in Acts 2, 3,000 souls were converted. The Spirit of God told them, right, the place of worship on the first Lord's Day is in the temple. Second, don't join up with the nation of Israel. You will now be a separate witness, and it will later on be called the local church. And what do we do during this first meeting? There was no order of service given to them, like what we have when the English missionaries came to Singapore or Malaysia to give the gospel. They also brought with them the order of service. What would they do? There was no information. There was no precedent. This was the first gathering of the first 3,000 converts. They knew what to do. Who taught them? The Spirit of Truth. Baptism. Breaking of bread, Lord's Supper. Christian fellowship. Teaching them the Word of God. Prayer. All these were there. And then to share of their personal belongings. Some who have more, they sow what they had, place it at the apostles' feet to distribute, because now we are a family. Who showed them the way? How do they know what to do? The Spirit of truth. Where is this teaching? Verse 13. Guide you, show you the way unto all truth, so that you will know what to do, so that the church that you're going to begin will become the blueprint for all future churches to follow. So you want to know what is the essence of a church that a church must always have? There was no YF, there was no youth fellowship, teens fellowship, YAF fellowship, adult fellowship in the first church. All these are our own making. Should we have all this fellowship? Should we not have? It's up to you. You can have, you don't want to have, it's also fine. There is no Bible verse to say that you must have. We have them because of practical reasons. Because we know that as the church grows, different age groups will face different challenges in life. And therefore, we will have to tailor the messages in these respective fellowships with Bible passages, God's teaching that will help them in their respective challenges in life. That's why we have the fellowships. And so for practical reasons, we have them. But the essence is you must have baptism. That's why FEBC is not a church, no baptism. Is that preaching of God's word? Is that teaching of God's word? Yes, but it doesn't have baptism. It doesn't have Lord's Supper. It's a para church. They exist as an assistant to walk along the church, to help the church. But they are not a church. What is a church? Baptism, Lord's Supper. Where do we find this? The Spirit of truth revealed it to the apostles at the closing chapter of Acts chapter 2. Those verses reveal to us what they did. God's word must be there. Christian fellowship must be present. Prayer must be present. Sharing must be present. All these helping one another. The essence of a healthy church. Where did they learn all these things? He will guide you unto all truth. How to have a church. How to face persecution. What words to say when you are confronted by your enemies telling you, don't talk about Christ anymore. They knew how to answer. They took advantage of the confrontation to even share the gospel so that these accusers of the brethren can also be exposed to the gospel to be saved. How did they know what to do? How did they know what to say? The Spirit of truth. Our ministry of persecution, of worship, of service, the Spirit of truth will lead and to guide us. What will be the final purpose? Is it to glorify the Holy Spirit? Is it to praise the Holy Spirit? Is it to praise the church? Is it to praise anyone? He shall glorify me. Verse 14. Our ministry centered on what the Spirit of truth has taught the disciples as the blueprint for every church to follow. And any of these elements that are missing will turn your church into a para church. That's why you cannot have any of those elements missing if your church is to be healthy and strong and Christ honoring. Because that must be his focus, glorify Christ. Obviously, that's the result. That's the result. Why? The word of Christ is given to the Spirit, and the Spirit of truth given to the disciples. And so when the disciples obey and do what the Spirit of truth tells them to do, which are basically the word of Christ that he received, he will not speak on his own, something different from Christ. What do you think will be the automatic outcome, the result? Glorify Christ. And so if you want to glorify Christ in your life and in your church, this is the procedure that the Lord has revealed to us. The Spirit of truth will take the word of Christ. Where is the word of Christ found today? The Bible. You study it, always praying for the Spirit of truth to open your eyes, to illuminate, to see, and to help you obey and follow. And then when you live your life in accordance to God's word, automatically, by default, when your life is lived according to the word of Christ, Christ will be glorified. And you must remember this. Otherwise, you will try to take some of the glory. The moment you try to take some of the glory, pride has set in. And the Bible warns us, and the Spirit of truth will now convict us. What's the next step of the pride? Fall. You're going to fall. Your ministry will collapse. You will stumble people. That's why you must glorify Christ. The Spirit of truth will not allow you to glorify anyone else, because the truth has to be the word. That is why you must preach the word. That's why you must always share the word if you want to glorify Christ. And the Spirit of God will help you. You temper with the word of God and you expect the Spirit of God to help you. He will never. He will never do anything that is contrary to the word of Christ, because he will not do anything on his own that is against Christ. His ministry. That's what the Bible says. He shall not speak of himself. He will speak only of Christ. And the result, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto them. The word receive means you take it to yourself. And so he will receive of mine. Mine what? He will receive what? And show it to us. The word of God. That's how Christ is glorified. He will take whatever the word that the Lord Jesus Christ will give to the Holy Spirit of truth, and the Holy Spirit himself will apply it into our heart, open our eyes to see and to understand and to obey. And that's how Christ is glorified. It's not just singing the words that glorify him. It's not just praising using the hymns that are theologically sound. It's your life. That is what we tell people. When it comes to worship God in spirit and in truth, it's more than just removing all distraction on Sunday. It's more than just paying attention on Sunday. It is to live a life from Monday to Saturday in light of God's truth, where at home, in school, at work, wherever you are, it is ordered by God's word. And the Spirit of truth will take the word of God to help you apply it and guide you and show you the way, so that you will courageously continue to walk in the straight and narrow path, which is the word of life, the word of God, the word of Christ. And then your life will automatically glorify Christ, and you're going to experience his presence even in the face of persecution. You will also experience his presence, but that will be his comfort, his assurance. You don't have to tell such people to come on time on Sunday. You don't have to tell them to worship God in spirit and in truth. They have already been doing it from Monday to Saturday. They have already been worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And so on Sunday, the only difference is he is doing it together with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ rather than in enemy's territory. In the world, that's enemy's territory. That's the difference. And this difference is huge. It's big, because this will be the same brothers and sisters in Christ that you will continue to worship in spirit and in truth in heaven. And that's what Christian fellowship and mutual worshiping together can do for us. And the Spirit of truth that works in your life to illumine, to guide you when you are in your world outside, and I do the same in my world outside. And then on Sunday, the Lord's Day, we all come out of the world and gather together in praising the Lord, because all of us have experienced the Spirit of truth encouraging us and helping us and lifting us up in our different way. For a new believer, his way. For a primary school believer, his way. For a secondary school believer, his way. And for an adult believer, his way. All of us experience the showing of the way in how to live our lives that will glorify Christ according to the scriptures by the Spirit of truth. And automatically, by default, we all will come and sing with one voice, one heart, praising who? The Lord himself. That's the Christian life. That's the life that Jesus described as abundant. And I hope that's your life, because the Spirit of truth is the only one who can help us experience this. And the Bible says, it's not by the will of man, it's not by the power of man, but by the power of the Spirit of God. To do what? To help us in our frailty. When we are young, he will not reveal too much to us, because with our desire to obey, he will not force us to lift up a load that we cannot carry, so he will only reveal just a little bit, enough that our faith can bear. He will not reveal too much because we cannot bear it. He cannot lift it up and carry it. But once he does, he will guide you to the right way. For all believers, infant and the most mature, we all need his help. You will never, never be at a stage whereby you say, thank you, Spirit of Truth. I now can manage on my own as an 18, 90-year-old believer, having experienced your goodness for the past 50 years of my walking for Christ. I can now handle it on my own. You can't. There will never be a point in time until glorification where you are no longer in sin. You still need the Spirit of Truth to keep on believing, keep on understanding. But no more falling, no more stumbling, no more in sin. That's why never arrive at a stage in your heart, in your life, that you don't need the Holy Spirit. That's why you must always pray. The danger of a lifetime of experience is self-confidence. We all struggle. All of us do. That's why we have to come up with our own ways and means to keep ourselves dependent upon Christ. I counted from the day I graduated and came back from America. I've taught thousands of hours of messages, literally. The danger is with the computer, I can type out all my outlines and my messages and put it in the computer and categorize them. And so in future, if there is any speaking engagements, what topic? You give me the topic, let me check. Computer very easy now, right? Oh, this sermon, all right. I take this one, outline, everything all there. No need to prepare. It's already there. I just come up and speak. Do I need to pray? No need. I've got it. I've done it before. You see? I have it. It's there. Lock it in my computer. You don't now you don't need to write in on hard exercise books whereby you have to build so many library shelves and then you can start categorize them using all this Dewey number like in a library. Now everything is so convenient, so space-saving in the computer, and it's so easy to access. I just print out, I've got it. It breeds laziness. It causes me to stumble and fall, whereby I will cease to depend upon the Spirit of Truth to help me understand the truth. My experience is good enough. And I'm sure you also face the same struggle as a teacher, Sunday school teacher. How long have you been teaching? 20 years? 30 years? Same subject, same level, same primary level, same story? I have no need to prepare. I've done it so many times. That's the danger. We always need the Spirit of Truth to lead us into all truth, so the result will be glorify Christ. We can't do it on our own, because on our own, the inclination is to glorify self. When people pat us on the back, when you begin to compete with other teachers, oh, this teacher, very good, right? I must be better. I must best this person. And so envy, jealousy, competition comes in. And if you are not good enough, not better, you might even dare to sabotage. And then you gossip and whisper, try to find fault with this teacher so that the estimation of the other teachers on this teacher is now reduced and diminished because of your gossip. And all because you cease to glorify Christ. And why do you cease to glorify Christ? Because you stop leaning upon the Spirit of Truth to help you, show you the way unto all truth. You want to do it on your own. And that's the problem. And that's why I do not keep any of my outlines, so that I will not be lazy. I throw everything away. I use newspaper at the back, not written blank, so I use it for my sermon outline. So my sermon for tonight is just like that. My sermon for this morning was like that. What do I have in between? I don't know. I just come up, I pray very hard for God to help me. I prepare, I meditate, I study God's word, I come up, and then I say, by the help of the Spirit of God, I pray. At the end of it, I thank God, and sometimes I feel that I've done a terrible job. Lord, please forgive me. Help me to improve the next time. I failed thee and I failed God's people. Please forgive me and be merciful. So the next time, I start afresh. Every passage afresh, afresh, afresh. Start from beginning. Pray. Lord, please help me. Open my eyes that I may see and understand. Sure, I do my part. I study the original languages. I do all the syntax, the grammar, everything. I do my part. But I know that the understanding of the scripture is not from me. It's from the Spirit of truth. How to come up with a title, how to come up with a proposition, how to come up with all the points. It's not from me. I need the help of the Spirit of truth to help me. Because if it doesn't help me, I'm finished. I'm done. I can't. That's why we have the Spirit of truth. He knows our frailty, and He knows the ministry that the Lord has entrusted to each and every believer. That's why He will guide us, so that at the end of it, the result, glorify Christ. What else? Verse 15. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that He shall take of mine. Take what? The word of God again, the truth. And He will show it unto you. Same, the word show means He announced it in detail to you. Not just parts here, parts there. All that belongs to God the Father gave to the Son will give to the Spirit of truth, and then He will show it unto us. All. Not just parts and portions of God's word. All of God's word. From Genesis to Revelation. All of it. He shows us the way in ministry, where to go, what to do, giving glory to God. And then the Bible, every jot and tittle, all the different genres that are found in the Bible. Miracles, how to understand, the Spirit of truth will help me. Parables, legal texts, prophecies, eschatology, poetry, narratives, every different types of literature in the Bible, the Spirit of truth will help us. Sure, we do our part, which is human responsibility. We go to Bible college. We learn about how to interpret using the principles of interpretation. We learn all these things. But they must never, never replace our dependence upon the Spirit of truth. He alone is able to show us all that the Father intended, whom He had given to Christ, who gave it to the Spirit of truth, and He will show it to us. That's the step. That's the procedure. Don't change it. Don't bypass anyone. Remember, this is the word of life. And without the Spirit of truth opening our eyes and understand, we can never understand. That's why never stop praying. Always pray before you open the Bible and prepare your lesson. And while you are about to teach, pray for the Spirit of God to fill you, to guide you, to help you understand and share it in a logical manner that the people who listen may be blessed. And when they are blessed, remember the Spirit of truth will help you. He will also take the Word of God that He has helped you to teach and to preach and apply it into the hearts of the children and the audience. He will do everything, in other words, from helping you to declare correctly, and also to take what He has helped you to declare correctly, and He will take it and apply it into the hearts of everyone who will be saved, who will be convicted, whom God has chosen, whom God has given them a ministry. He will do it. This is His calling. This is what He is to do. That's what the Lord tells us. This is the Spirit of truth that will help everyone who is born again. And then finally, verse 16, in a little while, ye shall not see me. Again, in a little while, ye shall see me because I go to the Father. The first part of verse 16, the word see, simply means to see and to inspect. That's all. Just see. And now they have been seeing Christ, and very soon they're no longer going to see Christ because they're going to see Him die. And then in a little while, how little? 3 days later. They're going to see Him. And this time, see is a different word. This word see, in the second part of verse 16, describes someone who is seeing at something that is remarkable with their eyes wide open. It's where you get the word ophthalmologist. That's the word. Where he is not just somebody who just have a glance to see superficially. He is able to look into your eye, right? You have eye problem, you see an ophthalmologist. who have those gadgets and those equipment to look deep into your eye, into the very back part of your eye to see whether there's any problem. That's the word. And what they see? The resurrected Christ, including the ascension, because I go to the Father. I'm going to the cross to die. And so very soon you're not going to see me. That means you're no longer going to see Jesus Christ walking on earth in human form. Those days are gone for good. It's over. You're going to inspect, you're going to stare, because they will see how Christ suffered and died from afar, except for John, who was nearby. But then 3 days later, they are going to gaze at the resurrected Christ with their eyes wide open as something that is miraculous and stupendous. And that will impact them. That will give them the faith and the courage that will succeed in the birth of the local church, all the way right until the day of their martyrdom. And every step of the way, the Spirit of Truth will be there to lead them, guide them, help them, so that their lives will ultimately result in the glory of Christ. And all revelation, they need the help of the Spirit of God to understand correctly so that they can be guided and walk the way correctly. And so that they will be able to respond. Because now they will be able to see. Now they're able to cope. Now they'll be able to understand. And with this, soon to experience the resurrection of Christ, it will give them all the courage they need to face the onslaught of the God of this world. When they face persecution of the persecution of the persecution, they pass the test. The same Spirit of Truth who helped these disciples is the same Spirit of Truth who can help us now. And we need Him to help us, not just at the start of our salvation to apply the gospel to our heart to save us, but now with Him indwelling us, don't live and walk without His help. We will fall, we will stumble, and we will sin. Continue to lean upon Him. Know and admit our frailty and accept the ministry that God has entrusted to each and every one of us until the Lord takes us home. And He has given to us the Holy Spirit, whom He called the Spirit of Truth, to help us walk the way of truth. Don't have to walk in darkness. Don't have to find your own way by inventing some opinions. The Bible is the truth. And without the Spirit of God helping us to understand, we can't find the way. We can't glorify Christ. And we will not understand the revelation. And once we have the Spirit of Truth leading us, guiding us to glorify Christ, you'll be able to understand and accept. And your life will be a blessing to many. It will bring glory to Christ. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast equipped Your children with all that we need to be a successful, Christ-honoring witness, even in these last days. We thank Thee, O Lord, for the Word of Life, but we also thank Thee above all else for Thy Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, who is able to apply the Word of Life first and foremost with the gospel of salvation that convicted us, that turned us from sinners unto Your saints, Your children. And what a wonderful experience we had in our lives. And yet, O Lord, with the same Holy Spirit now indwelling us, He will guide us unto all truth, that we may understand the Word of Life and obey it, that whatever ministry that You have prepared for us, we will pick it up and we will carry it, because our hearts cry and our hearts desire to obey every jot and tittle of God's Word. And You will never allow us to lift up a ministry that is beyond our ability to carry. For the Spirit of Truth has revealed it to us to understand it. And therefore, we now know that our faith is able to carry it. Or else, You would not help us to understand it and to accept it. Help us, therefore, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do, because it is the Spirit of Truth who has enabled us to do Thy holy will and to understand the whole counsel of God and to live it out in our lives.
so that this life that we live may truly reflect only the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whether in suffering or in times of health. May the Lord Jesus Christ be the one and only image that the friends and loved ones around us will see, so that by our good works, they will glorify our Father who art in heaven. Encourage our hearts and strengthen our resolve that all your children may remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know, our labor is not in vain in the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Spirit of truth will always be present to help us, to guide us. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.